Hi, I'm Archit.
And I'm Shirin.
And welcome to Getting Lost with Archit and Shirin, a podcast where two amateur cooks,
if you say so,
talk about all things food, from ingredients, recipes, techniques, and lessons from our trials in the kitchen. Every episode, Shirin, our producer Natasha, and I will do a deep dive into one singular topic and talk about literally everything we know.
Yeah, we've come a long way from like putting, you know, cheese singles on Monaco biscuits, like we used to do in school.
Yeah.
And put a little bit of keto on top and be like, oh, wow. To now having like full-fledged boards and like literally like people who are specialists in all of this all over the city. So that I think is pretty cool. And I really do enjoy one or many. And I think it really brings the party together. So why don't you start? Tell me everything, Archit, that you want to talk about today.
I mean, charcuterie boards in general are just very elemental, but in many ways, like elemental and therefore cohesive ways of like presenting cheese. And I think that they're a fun way to kind of really like play around with your food in like the best way possible without it sounding weird.
That is true. And it's been quite a wave. I mean, all over the last 2 years, like people are super into boards and people are like, oh, this is a grazing board, this is that board. And like stuff got really weird, I believe, on TikTok, where they were like, this is a butter board, this is a smoothie
butter boards
board.
Were insane.
And like, just to be very clear, guys, we will not be talking about those, but we had to mention them. We will be talking about your very traditional or not so traditional cheese, meats, fruit, nuts, that kind of a vibe, the kind of stuff that you know, will be charged an exorbitant amount of money for if you order from like a food hall or whatever. I think food halls shut now, by the way.
You know, I was going to ask you that because I recently went and it was shut and I was like, is it just this or like, are they all shut?
We'll look it up. But the guard said company went away. So
that's crazy. But Shirin, hot tangent. Thoughts on food hall?
I feel like I only ever went there when I needed like a very specific thing.
Yeah.
But also just for like, just to see what's up. Yeah. I don't make that kind of money. That is not my primary grocery store. Let me be very, very clear about that. But also, like, I felt like it was the one in the Chanakya was a really nice experience.
Yeah.
The ones in the malls, however, like the Vasant Kunj Mall, that was a sensory nightmare.
Yeah. It was like the lights. It was too much.
And those horrible children running around and saying, mommy, I want this, mommy, I want that. And it's just like, get them out of here.
That's not something that they have any control over. But you're right. Like, I think like food hall was at least the marquee ones, right? Like the Chanakya one, even the One Horizon one. Those were actually pretty good because they had a lot of control over like the overall experience that someone has.
Yeah. But
I really enjoyed them. You're right. They were very good for like window shopping, but they actually never had basics. Like once I went and I was like, bhaiya maida chahiye, and he's like, maida nahi hai. I was like, tumhare paas maida nahi hai.
That's true though.
You don't have maida. So, you know, like, and everything is more expensive. Which was always my like everything was more expensive, and I'm sad that if it shut, I'm kind of sad because it like you lose like the fact that like, there is that audience isn't there to have window shopping experiences with food.
I don't know how sustainable that model was to begin with, and I mean I really really hope that they were respecting shelf life of cheese and stuff like that, and if they were, then they weren't it's an expensive process. So anyhow, I will definitely talk to you a little bit about Modern Bazaar and how it's upped its game and just become like, you know, the place to go to if you ever need something as such. But people today are charging crazy sums of money for charcuterie boards. And while like, if you want that, like that particular look, that finish, that's great, but you can actually make them at home. It's not, you know, it's not a specialized, at least in my experience, it's not like something that you know, you
it's so elemental. Like it's things that you, if not more than like a couple of things, a lot of these things you'll actually have at home. It's just about like placing them together.
I don't know about having them at home because like who has like five kinds of cheese at home at any given time?
No, that's the thing that you'll buy, but like nuts, preserves, jams, you might just have them at home, right?
Yeah, but well, that's that. So today we will talk to you about the basics of building a shark board, which is what I'm going to call it now. And we will end the episode with a little bit of a monologue on why I love Modern Bazaar so very much. And I hope someone from there is listening and wants to sponsor us. So let's go. How do you make a shark board at home, Arjit? Or do you? Do you not?
So I'll be honest, I haven't made a whole lot of them, but I know like Natasha and her family used to love making them. So through that process, I've actually seen a bunch. So I know like basics of what makes a good charcuterie board. More so of like basics of like how I think I would have enjoyed to make one. So I have three types of cheeses. I do a soft, medium, hard, and I have like options for bread. Dried fruits, fruit, and then just extras. So that's how like my categorization kind of works. And then you can play around with which kind of soft, medium, hard cheese or different kind of breads to like create your own experience.
Do
you want me to go through my options?
No, I'll talk a little bit about my journey and then you can go into your options.
Okay, go. Tell me about your journey.
It's been fun, actually. A few years ago when the pandemic had just hit, a couple of my friends actually gifted me this amazing basket. And that basket had an enormous bottle of gin. It had a cheese platter. It had homemade sourdough, of course, pandemic. It had these cocktail mixes, also homemade. So it was just super wholesome. And in fact, I saved the basket and Luna sleeps in that basket every night.
Aww,
but that cheese platter was like the funnest because I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to, like, what am I going to do with this alone? But it looks so good and I really want to, like, enjoy it. And I actually, funnily enough, took it over to Akhil's place, my now husband. And we did, like, movie day and we nibbled on the cheese and, like, had some of the meats and whatever. And we made the cocktails and everything. So it's been a part of our little love story, in a way, the whole cheese platter thing. And
we shouldn't. That means you took away Luna's home?
Her home was not the basket.
Damn.
Her home was the basket. We did not eat the basket. We ate the cheese.
That's a shocker. Shocker. If you get cancelled, with this, Shirin.
No. I only took the board. And it was delightful. And after that, every time that like my friend Rinda and I would hang out, I was like, we've got to get a board from this lady. And she was like, yeah. So girls' night was always wine and cheese. We were doing girl dinner before it was a thing. And when we saw that it was a thing, we were like, oh my God, hard relate. But anyway, so cheese platters have, you know, played like little cameo roles in special moments in my life in the last 3 to 4 years. And then it all kind of like tied itself together when I did my 30th birthday party and I didn't know anything about what I wanted, but I knew I wanted platters. I just knew that I wanted platters. And I think, I mean, you would remember, it was so fun. And it was like, hey, it's almost like we're growing up and we're moving away from, and I have said this before, chips and dip alone,
you know,
to having like these beautiful platters, which have lots of options and people can, you know, just like nibble on and move on. And it's, you know, you're not restricting to like basically store-bought chips. So
yeah,
that's been that. And over the last 6 to 8 months, I've actually experimented a little bit at home because, you know, of course we've been entertaining a lot. And after a point, you're like, I don't want to be spending X amount of money when I think I'm good at making food and I think I can do this on my own. So why not try? So for a very low stakes evening, when it was just, you know, immediate friends and family, I made a cheese platter. It wasn't the most beautiful, but it tasted great. And then they progressively got prettier. So that's been my journey. And I think they will always taste really good. You just got to make them look pretty and in a way kind of add a little bit of zhuzh to them, which makes people be like, oh, I didn't think of putting these two things together.
I love your story. I think I could learn a lot from like your beautification, because I'm like, I'm kind of blank on that. Like I could do something, but I'm not like, if it's not beautiful, it doesn't matter to me, you know?
Wow.
Yeah.
You are so full of substance. I love it.
No, I'm not as advanced into the charcuterie journey as you are. So I'm looking forward to learning so much.
Okay, so let's start with the very basic, which is the board. Okay, you guys, you don't need to have like a fancy ass board, but it helps.
Yeah.
So if you're going to be doing this pretty often, I would say that go pick up a board. You don't even have to get, you know, like something that is called a board in that sense. You can actually even get, and I love this, I do this for my perfumes actually now. You can get a rotating cake stand from IKEA and build on that, and then you can like turn it around. So whatever, you know, slab of wood, piece of marble you want to use, go for it. And then if you really want to make something of your own, you can actually go to you know, someone who works with wood and ask them to personalize it for you. So you figure what you want, but it doesn't have to be something that like burns a hole in your pocket. It can very well be something that you've already got at home and are repurposing. So that's my take on the board itself. What about you, Archit?
I mean, I'm a sucker for a good board. If I see a good board, I'm like, ooh, must buy. What I have learned is that if you're looking for a marble board, because those are really popular and also very expensive if you go to the market and buy one. But if you just go, and you will find this near your home somewhere, if you live in India, a tile cutting place, a place that holds like raw tiles and raw floor material, they always have marble. And you just go to them and be like, I want to look at your scraps. And in those scraps, you will find a really big piece. You can get it cut and actually get it made into a board. I use that as the backdrop for all my food videos on Instagram. And it's like under 500 rupees to do that. And it's amazing to just do that. And they're just raw marble, so they will stain and get bad, but they'll also age and patine and look really nice. And then you can always like chuck them and like get another one. And that's a great thing. The other thing that, I mean, this is a really like, if you're doing home improvement, you may have this option, is we didn't do a board, but the wood that we used for our flooring, it's just like laminated wood. We had extra, so we got them cut and made into coasters. And so we have a bunch of coasters that are just made of like our wood laminate. And so you can actually make a board out of that.
Love that. Okay. Love it. Very nice. Super inspiring. By the end of this episode, I will also tell you a little story about how Madhvi gifted me my favorite board, which no longer exists, but I will talk about that. And she had it made. So you just reminded me of that. Okay. The second thing that you need, in my opinion, is little containers. And I know that as you grow older, little containers become like big, big moments in your life, because every drawer is full of little containers. You're organizing everything. You've got those little cubes, you're packing cubes, everything. But that's for a reason. Segregation is essential. And when you are building something like a charcuterie board, where by nature you will have lots of different things in it, you want to make sure that you keep them together but apart. And you also need to be respectful of the fact that, hey, maybe someone has allergies. Maybe someone doesn't want to eat meat. So you want to make sure that things are, you know, in their place, but also in their own place. So go get those little katoris. Go get those little, like if you order in a lot, you'll get those little glass bottles for chutneys and stuff like that. Pot, if you order once, we'll send you like 50. And once you've got the basic, you know, like infra, then the world is your oyster. And you just play around. And And I say that the small containers are really important, not just from like, you know, an ease of use perspective, but also for beginners, because then it kind of like, you know, makes it easy for you to move things around. If you're like, achha, this doesn't look so good here, I want to move it there, et cetera, et cetera. Then, like Archit said, and let's talk about cheese. You go into the heart of the board, which typically is cheese. Here, we're not talking about a hummus and pita platter. The cheese is usually the star of any shark board. And Archit, you said you use typically three types of cheese. So go for it. Tell us a little bit about how you make that decision and keep it snappy.
Oh, okay. So in terms of cheeses, I go soft. Soft, you have lots of options actually. So you can actually, I've done like mascarpone for that. I've also used cream cheese.
That's a bold choice.
Mascarpone is fun actually, because if you do it with like fruit, it has tang, so it could be fun. but it's also like it's runny, so it's not like, everyone doesn't think of it as cheese. They think of it as like dip. So it actually is a cheese though. Then the other things that you can do in this like soft category that I really enjoy is like sour cream or dahi dip. Like honestly, dahi dips are awesome. Like anyone who hates on them is incorrect. Like they're a lot of fun and definitely adds,
I do agree,
a lot of like flavor that a lot of the other things that you will have on this board may not have. Like a lot of things are very muted because they are there to accentuate the alcohol you're having. But this one really like shouts across a little bit, so that's fun. In the mediums, I'm either doing feta or brie, and I'm usually doing feta because like brie is hectic. If you buy a whole jar thing, you have to use all of it and all of that, so a little annoying. And then in the hard cheeses is where like I love doing like a smoked gouda or a sharp cheddar. I'll do something like manchego or something like that, like something that's, you know, it's fun, it has, it's textural, but it's the kind of cheese that you associate cheese with primordially, but also because it'll get you like the most full. So I really like hard cheeses, so I really enjoy doing a lot more with hard cheeses.
I love that. I mean, same, but I get immense satisfaction from like, you know, like taking a cracker and cutting through a ball of cream cheese which has lots of garlic in it. With that, and it's just like that soft cheese just blows my mind. So I could eat, oh my god, I'm salivating. We've got a big dinner tonight, so I better not eat anything right now. Have you ever done like a burrata? Have you done a mozzarella? And I tell you why I'm asking after you answer.
No, I don't do those primarily because they add no flavor, and unlike like burratas are great for like a salad because you can do so much with that, but I haven't done a burrata on like a cheese platter. I have had it and it's been fun, but I wouldn't do it again. And then mozzarella is just, it's so bland, it needs to either be like heated or like dunked in lots of oil to give it flavor. So I haven't done it.
So hard agree on the burrata. And I know that everyone loves burrata, but I think burrata's place is either in salad or on pizza. But with mozzarella, especially baby mozzarella, I found it to be really, really fun to actually do like a, you know, chili olive oil drizzle on top and then throw some olives around. And then it becomes easy for people to just pick up and eat or even just have with their fruit. But for me, having the right kinds of salami, the right kinds of, you know, prosciutto, any kind of really good, easy to eat and light on the hand meat makes such a difference. And you know, you've got to make sure that the cheese and the meats are playing well together, of course, but I find it so fun to just go to a store and, you know, something like a Modern Bazaar or equivalent, and they've got all these cold cuts laid out and you just ask them for a taste and you pick what you're looking for. And ideally I would say like have something which is basic, like it's not neither spicy nor, you know, bland. Then you have something that's spicy and then you have something that's salty, because everything else on your board is kind of going to cater to one of those taste profiles. So I typically go for like one very safe, you know, chicken salami kind of thingy, because not everyone eats pork, not everyone wants ham. Then you get a nice prosciutto, which I love tearing apart, and then you have something like a chorizo or like something a little more chewy, with a little more character, and that for me as a basic is great. So I would say that try to apply the rule of threes. You have three of everything, so three cheeses, three types of meat, and then we go further into what else you need. So you've got your board, you've got your little katoris, you've got your cheese, you've got your meats. Now you need bread. Everyone loves a good piece of bread. So hot take, I don't like bread in charcuterie boards. I like crackers, and I like the really thin, salty crackers, and maybe like, you know, those, the pita sticks that you get, but I don't like bread in a charcuterie board. What about you?
I like bread in my charcuterie board. I think bread is like another element, like otherwise everything is sharp and again, it's crisp, but like I think bread is kind of good, but bread is not that high on the priority of a charcuterie board.
I agree. Like I would maybe put it in if I had to fill up some space, but otherwise I'd just do crackers. Now let's get to the fun part. Okay. So all the basics are done, right? Now it's about, because those are things that you expect in each and every charcuterie board. Now you get really personal. Now you're like, hey, what else do I want to put in? Do I maybe want to put in some olives? Do I want to put in some dried nuts? Some dry fruit, or do I want to, you know, like, do I have a marmalade that was made at home that I want to throw in? Or potentially, do I want to, you know, again, go with the trend and do hot honey? So that's where your little katoris come in. And that's how you make it a little more you, I feel, where you throw in like preserves and little fillers. You've got some jalapenos left over. Go for it. Go buy those burger chips by Neo. They are so delicious. They're basically little, I don't even know what it's called. They're like pickles, but sliced.
Yeah, they're gherkins, so right? The gherkins. That are, yeah. Those are really good.
Yeah. So do that. And then you've got like these little add-ons that people can kind of sandwich together with the meat and the cheese. And if they are feeling feisty, then the bread. And then you go into like the more, you know, artsy side of things. So You're done feeding people. Now you've got to get to the pieces which you are maybe okay with people not eating all of. Like, that is a disclaimer that I really want to put out there, because you will see like a bunch of grapes on a chalkboard. I can guarantee you that the person who made the chalkboard was not expecting to finish it. And they will be okay if you don't. But the grapes will get used. They may not be finished, but they will be used. One of my friends did this really lovely thing where she actually cut an anar, a pomegranate, halfway, and we'll put up a picture, and just put those, like, the cross sections up top. And obviously, nobody's going to go and bite into that anar. But it looks so damn good. It looked so damn good. And, like, little flowers, little bits of, like, you know, whatever you can throw in. And it kind of plays almost like they're the accessories of your chalkboard, whereas the cheese, meat, you know, everything else, they're the main outfit, is how I think about it. And I would say that, like, do that at the very end based on how much space you have and whatnot, and try to keep, like, the big things either in the center or on the perimeter, and, like, kind of just play around with things.
That's a strong tip. I think that, like, in terms of the beauty parts of it, that those are so true. Like, I agree that, like, the fruit and, like, especially the grapes. Like, I love grapes in a charcuterie board because, like, oh, they're such a fun way to eat cheese, and you don't get to do that otherwise. I really love the concept of having fruit. What are your thoughts on, like, flowers? Like, people have been putting edible flowers.
Yeah, I really like the thought of it. But just don't overdo it, is all I'm going to say. Like,
yeah,
just like with accessories, you don't need to overdo it. And I know this is not a style podcast and I'm not a stylist, but that analogy has stayed with me. It looks really cute.
I don't know what I feel about edible flowers, honestly. Like, I think that they're They're really pretty, but like they have no purpose. You know?
Yeah, they're just pretty. They're just pretty. They don't have flavor. They have nothing else going on for them.
Like I appreciate things that like with like garnishes. You know, like when we used to go to like those really traditional Indian, North Indian restaurants, you'd get like a salad and the then onions. Inside me you'll get a salad kaswan or something, you know, they like shape the carrot into something or whatever, and like it's just there in even in hotels in room service you just have like this decor of like veg it plays no purpose, it's so useless, right? It's and because it's not pretty also you're like you're even grossed out more by it. Not grossed out, but just like, why? Right? And I feel the same way about edible flowers. Like, yes, they're pretty. And so that's how they're different. But why are you here? Like, you have no purpose. And that,
God, really, that like, is a very deep philosophical
thought. Yeah, it really like sticks with me. And so whenever I look at it, like, even I know like the anar has no purpose, but like, it's part of the fruits. You know, you're eating fruits and it's representing that. So it's like, you can be here. But why is the flower there?
Thank you for giving Anar permission. But I mean, I would say that if you want to choose where you want to spend your time, I would give more time to finding the right ingredients that people are going to eat.
That was a good episode, Shirin. I think we're at a good
place. You really need to stop judging our episodes.
I'm so impressed. I'm so impressed by us. And I'm glad we're back. We'll do more of these. And we're going to be here for a longer run than we have been in the past.
We gotta be more consistent. And maybe we can post a picture of what Madhvi did for my bachelorette.
Yes.
Organized by my beautiful girlfriends and my sisters. So that would be super fun. And then maybe at some point we can talk about how to frost a cake, because you did such a beautiful cake for my bachelorette. Like, it was something else. Maybe we should do something on those lines. But I'm excited. I'm really happy about this. And now I can't stop thinking about hot honey.
I just released a hot honey recipe. So if you're like, Shirin and you're thinking of hot honey, there's a great recipe on my website.
Thanks for listening, you guys. We are by no means experts, but like we always say, we've got a little bit of trial and error under our belts, and that's what's taught us. And the people around us tell us that it was, you know, what we make is possible, and they enjoy it sometimes. So hopefully this helps you. Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.